From Morocco, with another chance to hear the first of two World Roots features from the Timitar Festival in Agadir. It's introduced by Lucy Duran.
There's something faintly surreal about this place. You could easily imagine that you were in Torremolinos or Benidorm. It's hotel land here around this long bay. This is Agadir, Morocco's busiest holiday resort, with tourists from around the world who come here for the beach and the sun. It's a fast-growing and a very modern city, but appearances are deceptive. In fact, it's very old, dating back many hundreds of years. But in 1960, it was devastated by a terrible earthquake, and the whole town was destroyed and many thousands died. There's an enormous hill that towers over the north side of the bay, which was the site of the original old town, and many of the inhabitants are buried there. At night, three gigantic words in Arabic script are lit up on the hill, and they say, God, King, and Nation, a reminder of the monarchy that's ruled Morocco for hundreds of years and continues to do so. So, by day, a tourist town, but at night, the streets are reclaimed by the locals, especially now, during the Timitar Festival. This is the sixth year of this annual festival. It's a major international showcase for world music, but also for the culture of the Berber people, or the Amazigh, as they're known here. And today, we focus on that culture, featuring some of the best Amazigh artists. We're at the main stage of Timitar in the Place Al Amel, an enormous square in the middle of town that's filling up fast with a local crowd who are dying to hear one of the stars of roots Amazigh music, Rais Arab Atigi.
Push it!
Wow, that was really, really exciting. That was Rais Arab Atigi, who is obviously a huge star here because everybody seems to know the words. There are 100,000 people here in this square, in this place, Al Amel, here in Agadir, at this festival, the opening night of the Timitar Festival. And I'm lucky enough to be backstage now with the Rais. So, tell me about your music.
الموسيقى اللي سيارة غمسات الأغنية أمازيغية.
Well, my music is Amazigh music, and we use the rabab, which is a fiddle, also the lotar, which is like the banjo, and the tamtam, the drum. The songs I sing, well, they are mostly poetry about love, talking about two lovers, or more often, just talking about a woman. But I also sing about social issues like immigration, because a lot of people are leaving Morocco to go to Europe. So I sing about that. And then I also sing about other problems we have here, like the abandoned orphans, lots of other issues like that.
And are you singing in Amazigh, in Berber?
I am an Amazigh artist, so I don't sing in anything but the Amazigh language. Of course, I also speak the Moroccan dialect of Arabic, and plenty of other artists sing in Moroccan, but not me.
So there are 100,000 people here in this square tonight at this festival, and they've all come to see you, and they all know your songs.
Some of the songs I do are all traditional songs, so that's why everyone here knows them by heart. And they sing along to my new songs too. In fact, I have one song which I always use as a bit of a test for the public. I ask the audience to sing along to it, and if they sing loudly, I know they like me. If they don't, then I know I have a problem.
They obviously like you a lot. What's the song that you test with?
The song is called I Give a Ring to My Love. It's about a man who is proposing marriage to a woman, but when he offers her the ring, she just looks down.
Rais Atigi, you look absolutely wonderful. You're wearing a sort of sparkling hat, and you've got a jalaba, and you've got a silver dagger, which you're now showing to me. A really beautiful hanging around your neck. And the rabab that you play, the one-string fiddle, that also is silver. So is this the traditional Berber Amazigh culture?
The way I look, the way I dress is really important in our culture. If I came on stage just wearing jeans and a t-shirt, I would not be a Rais. So the clothes have to be just right. The scarf that I wear around my head, the jellaba, and also the dagger. And that has to be solid silver. It can't be a fake.
And how do you come to be a Rais? Are you born into it?
You're not born into it, but not anyone can be a Rais. You have to have the voice, and you have to have the rhythm in your blood. If you have that, then you can start learning music, and then it's a long journey, step by step, to becoming a Rais. But more than that, you have to be a man of honor. You can't be a thief, a deceiver. You must be a good man, an honest one. And a true Rais must preserve the tradition. The way the Rais looks, the way he sings, it's all vital to our culture. It's the Rais, more than anyone else, who keeps Amazigh culture alive.
So let's go back to this wonderful musician, this musician who represents the heart of Berber Amazigh culture here in the south of Morocco, at this festival, at the festival which is showcasing Berber music. So back on stage, Rais Arab Atigi.
Thank you.
we've left the site of the festival, of the Timi Tower Festival, a festival that's dedicated to Berber or Amazigh culture. And I've never been quite clear as to how much of Moroccan culture is actually Berber and what that consists of. So I'm very fortunate to be with Rashid Mouchou, who's a cultural promoter, who's Berber, from Agadir. And we've driven to this place called Taroudant, which is in the heart of the Berber countryside. Now walking through the souk. So let's start from the beginning. First of all, the name Berber is problematic. You don't use it, do you?
We don't like to be called as a Berbers because in a history, Romans, the population didn't fit to a Roman culture called barbarian or Berbers.
So it's a way of describing people
describing that
who
they
were
are
uncivilized.
Uncivilized.
So they were barbarians.
Barbarian. But the real word that we want to be called, that our name is Amazigh. And the Amazigh means a free man. So we are free from the history. We were free. We never slave. Never in the history we were slave. So from Mediterranean to Mauritania, to Mali, to Burkina Faso, to Niger, to Chad, there's a huge Amazigh and Berber population.
So what distinguishes Berber culture? How would I know the difference between a Moroccan who's a Berber, like yourself, and a Moroccan who is another kind of Moroccan, an Arab or whatever?
They are Berber. All Moroccan inhabitants are Berbers.
So really, Moroccan culture is Berber?
Yeah. Someone speaks and someone not. That's the difference.
So and some speak the Berber, the Amazigh language,
and some don't. Some don't.
But everyone is Berber, culturally.
Culturally, everyone is Berber, because when they are talking Arabs or dialect, Moroccan dialect to Arabs in Gulf, they can understand each other.
So classical Arabic from the Middle East is not the same as Moroccan
not
Arabic.
Totally different. Totally different. The one we have is like a Berber, is like Amazigh language, but with the Arab words, the phrase and structure is Amazigh, and we change Amazigh Berber words with Arab words so that they can understand us when I talk in Moroccan dialect. We want to refer it as a Moroccan dialect, not as Arab.
And I'm very interested by something you also said to me as we were driving along, that the Tuareg, who I know because they're in the north of Mali, and there's that famous group Tinariwan who are Tuareg, but actually their language is a Berber,
it's a Berber
language,
it's
and
a
their Berber script is a Berber script.
Yes, the script we call Tifinagh, it's a Berber alphabet that we can find in North Africa, Mali as well, because there are a lot of Tuareg population, Canary Island also. So the Tifinagh is the Berber alphabet.
So the Berber were the original people of the Canary Islands, all the way down to Mali, Niger,
Mauritania, Niger, Chad, Burkina Faso, some part of Burkina Faso also.
So what you're saying, Rashid, is that the contribution of the Berber population or the Amazigh population is not really understood or fully acknowledged in this region.
Yes, because some president of some country of North Africa didn't accept this culture, so they marginalize it. The governments take this idea that the country is Arab and the culture is Arab, and so this marginalizing put us as a minority, but we are not.
Well, we're just coming to the end of the souk in Taroudant, this walled inland town in the heart of Berber countryside. And Rashid is taking me to meet a group of women who play a unique style that comes exclusively from this town, and they're called Roudaniyet.
Hey!
عليكم.
Absolutely fantastic. These are six women in Tarudant, and the name of the group is Lehebet Rudaniyet.
Lehebet Rudaniyet.
Rudaniyet means the women of this town.
From
this,
Tarudant,
of
yes.
Tarudant. And the solo singer is called Aisha. They're playing frame drums. And it's like a tambourine with a snare. Yeah. And then there's a sort of piece of iron cylinder, which they're tapping out. And the lead singer was just doing some fabulous dancing there
as
well.
It was crazy.
And we're just in their home.
Yeah.
So we're just sort of upstairs in the kitchen is just across from us. There's this kind of small enclosure with three quarters of the way around the walls, these low seats that we're on. And that music, what was that music? What was that song that we just heard, Rashid?
That rhythm is called Chabi, Moroccan music popular, but in their way, in their own way. We can't hear it anywhere else except Tarudant and Marrakech, the two cities that you can find this kind of Chabi.
And is this wedding music?
Of course, it's a wedding music that play in wedding days, but now they can play anywhere. And it's in different celebration in the city and outside city.
Are they professional then?
Yeah, they are professional.
This is what they do.
They play the whole world in United States, in Netherlands, in Europe, and so.
Yes, but we're lucky enough to see them in their own home in Tarudant.
As they told me, the only country that didn't play in is UK.
Well, their music will be heard in the UK.
Yeah, that's nice.
So Chabi is a universal North African style of popular music.
Yeah.
But are these women, are they Berber? Are they Amazigh?
Yes, even they are speaking in Moroccan dialect, they are Berber. I said the capital of Berber is Agadir and Tarudant.
So we're in the heart of Berber country here. But Rashid, you were telling me earlier on as we were walking around the souk, around the market, that Berber culture is marginalized. I mean, do you think that the culture that these women here, this group, is this a marginalized culture?
You know, they refer to the song that they are Berber. And we can hear a lot of rhythm coming from Berber culture. But the lyrics are in Moroccan dialect. And when ask someone, is this a Berber? He said, no, that's Arab. But the origin is Berber. Just the lyrics change. So they are fitting them from independence that they are not Berber, they are Arabs.
So it's because people just don't realize the extent to which their own culture is actually Berber in origin, is that
yes,
it?
Yes, because they are fed in school, in the TV, in the media, in the radio, that they are Arab. The Arabs, that they have to support Arab nation, and they are also, so they believe that they are Arabs. I have a lot of friends in Casablanca, for example. Their parents are Berbers. Their grandparents are Berbers, and the origin are Berbers, and he can speak Berber. And I give him the same question to all of them. Are you Berber? He said, no, I'm not, but my parents are. So how not to be a Berber when your parents are?
So can we hear some Berber music?
Yeah, of course.
Could you ask them to play something for us as Berber?
تغنيو شي حاجه تشلحها قال لك تغنيو شي حاجه تشلحها يلا لا ديروا شلحها هو الاول هذا داكشي قال لي It's really a poetic verse that I like so much because the Berber poetry is so beautiful. The poet refers to a woman like an eagle, a white eagle. The white eagle, our hope is on you. And we can see a lot of this reference into a Berber poetry, like white eagle, white pigeon, things.
Comparing women to a beautiful bird.
Birds, yeah.
Aisha's blowing me a kiss right now. Kiss back to you. The special sound of the Amazigh women in Tarudant, a town about 80 kilometers from Agadir. And that group was called Rudaniyet, and in fact the person who suggested that I go and see them is with me now, and he's actually the artistic director of Timitar Festival, and his name is Brahim El-Mazned. Yes. So Brahim, you created the festival of Timitar 6 years ago. It's now in its sixth year.
When we start in 2004, the president of our region, Region Sous Massadra, Mr. Aziz Khanoush, asked me to give him an artistic project. So I've proposed...
For a festival.
For a festival. So I've proposed this idea that Amazigh artists invite the world music. So that's why a half of program is Amazigh music and the other half come from all over the world.
Including Morocco?
Including Morocco, yeah, of course. And as you know, the whole Moroccan, they have a part of Amazigh inside.
Everybody in Morocco has some Berber or Amazigh, as you call it. And yourself?
Me too.
But it seems to me that in some parts of this country, there are places where Amazigh culture is stronger.
Our region, for example, the presence of Amazigh culture is very important. Artists Amazigh, a lot of them live in this area, in this region. That's why we propose this program, because, as you know, they record a lot of CDs. They sell a lot. Some of artists, they sell more than 100,000 albums per year.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
What, the Amazigh musicians?
For example, Oudaden or Fatima Taba Amran or Lausine or Rakshi. So it was normal that Timitar gave them the stage for their concerts.
And it's a free festival. How do you make it work?
Well, it's free, and as we do this also with the public money, 40 or 50% from the budget are public money. I think it's normal that this population should have free access to the concerts.
What would you say this festival, Timitar, has done for Amazigh culture?
Well, I think it bring this culture from the ghetto to the center of the city, and we put it in the high technical condition, and they prove that it can take this place, and not only folkloric vision, old folkloric vision. And now the Amazigh music, it take a part of network of world music.
We're about to hear a group that I understand are a really fantastic roots Amazigh group, who are also sort of representing the more popular side of Amazigh culture, and they're called Igidar.
Well, in the 70s, you know, they broke with the traditional music, with the urban music.
So is it like urban Amazigh music?
Urban Amazigh, yeah. They enrich the Amazigh music.
How do they enrich it?
First, they introduced a new instrument, for example, banjo. They changed their dress, more modern, and a new rhythmic in the music. So they're inspired by the heritage, but they are looking outwards.
Brahim, when you see all these, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of young people here at this festival, and they're singing along to these Amazigh songs, and they're singing with a group like Igidar, how does that make you feel?
It feels me good, because they are happy, they're proud of their identity, they are tolerant, they accept others, and they love music. That's good.
Thank you.
So the Timitar Festival in Agadir gives 100,000 young Amazigh Moroccans a chance to shout as loud as they want to about their culture. A culture that may well be threatened in some parts of Morocco, but certainly seems alive and vibrant here. The band's name, Igidar, is the Amazigh word for a secure place in a mountain kasbah where the people of the villages would store their valuables, a kind of traditional rural bank. And what a great name for a band like this one. You just know that the most valuable treasures of Amazigh culture are safe with them. In our next programme, there's more from the Timitar Festival, including a concert from Morocco's biggest star of the Arab world, Samira Said. But let's end with more of the cultural bankers of the Amazigh people, Igidar.
I'm gonna go.
music of Igidar, helped along by 100,000 festival goers, ending that World Roots feature from Agadir in Morocco. The programme was first broadcast in 2009, and as Lucy said, there'll be more from the Timitar Festival in World Roots next week.
Piano Season on BBC Radio 3.
On Radio 3, Monday night is Piano Night. Radio 3 Live in Concert presents an international selection of concert pianists performing some of the peaks of the piano repertoire. The season begins with former Leeds finalist Sunak Kim performing Schubert and Beethoven. Tomorrow night on BBC Radio 3 from 7:30.
Well, one of the many features of the BBC's piano season begins early tomorrow morning when breakfast will be hearing from one of the most knowledgeable and eloquent of today's pianists, Peter Donohoe. He'll be introducing one of 50 of his favourite pianists every morning just after 8:30. And later in Essential Classics, there's a performance from the pianist Peter's chosen. That'll be happening every weekday morning during the piano season. And I also ought to point you to BBC 4 Television, where Susie Klein will be presenting 6 programmes about the Leeds piano competition, which finished last night. She profiles one of the 6 finalists each week, as well as introducing their concerto performances in full. First programme, BBC 4, Friday, 7:30. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11:30, time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. Tonight's concert set documents one of the UK's jazz fusion exports with sounds a bit like this. That's the bass of London-born, but now New York-based, Yannick Gwizdala. And we'll hear him in the fine company of sax man Bob Reynolds, drummer Louis Palmer and Gary Husband on the keyboards later on in the show. First up, an advanced copy of a brand new CD from sax man Konrad Wisniewski and pianist Ewan Stevenson. It's not out till November, but here's an early preview. Illuminate, and the music of two of Scotland's finest, the tenor of Conrad Wisniewski and pianist Ewan Stevenson. The album is called New Focus and combines well-conceived string textures with the strong rhythm section and groove of Michael Janish on bass and the inimitable Alan Kosker on drums. New Focus will be out in November on the Whirlwind label. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. Now to news of a memorial concert for one of the great characters of the British jazz scene in all its colourful glory. On July the 10th, we lost saxophonist Lol Coxhill. Lol had an unlimited array of musical avenues, from the blues, soul, the free jazz and experimental scene across Europe. His music was expressive and unrestricted, but with great depth and discipline, and he will be sorely missed. On Wednesday, the 19th of September, there's a memorial concert in his honour, with performances and tributes from a vast array of friends, musicians and associates, including Mike and Kate Westbrook, Tony Coe, Maggie Nichols, the London Improvisers Orchestra, Hugh Metcalf, Henry Lowther, Bobby Wellens and Stan Tracy, to name only a few. The memorial will take place at Cecil Sharp House at 2 Regent's Park Road in London, and the doors open at 6:15 p.m. For more information, go to the Jazz Lineup page. From 1954, the album is Spectral Soprano. This is Lol Coxhill and Autumn in New York. Thank you. late Lol Coxhill on tenor saxophone, playing the classic Vernon Duke ballad Autumn in New York. And it's nice to hear him play tenor saxophone. He was very famous for playing the soprano. And there were shades of Dexter Gordon going on there. That was taken from his Spectral Soprano album, and that was recorded in 1954 with no details of the other players. Lol Coxhill, who died in July, and his memorial concert is on September the 19th at Cecil Sharp House in London. And there's more information on the Jazz Lineup webpage. We make our way now to the piano talent of John Turville, who releases a new CD that he recorded in Italy called Conception. Completing his trio are bassist Chris Hill and Ben Reynolds is on the drums. It's a strong album with impressive contributions from cellist Eduardo Vassallo. Turville's style and trio is strong and assured, and amongst other things, it reflects shades of British piano giant Jason Robello's influence. Be in no doubt, Turville is a player of note amongst the best of his British peers, and we return to a slight fusion lean on this, the opening track, Pharaoh Ant. Thank you. The gifted trio of pianist John Turville and Pharaoh Ant, with Chris Hill on bass and Ben Reynolds on the drums. Conception is released on Fire Records on October the 1st with great variety and focus in all the compositions. And you can catch the trio live as they're on an extensive British tour over the coming months. Here are a few select dates. They're at the Pizza Express in London on September the 27th, Jazz at the Fleece in Suffolk on October the 5th, Symphony Hall, Birmingham on October the 19th, and The Cellar in Southampton on November the 12th. For more information, check the Jazz Lineup webpage. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. And as well as jazz on Radio 3, remember there's plenty more jazz across the BBC airwaves, all available via the BBC iPlayer. And on tomorrow night's Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson, there's music from American pianist Uri Kane, who performs with his trio. Here's a sample of What to Expect. Uri Kane. That's a taster for tomorrow night's Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson at 11 p.m. on BBC Radio 3. Time for tonight's concert set, which comes from electric bassist Yannick Gwizdala. Born in London, Gwizdala made the move to the United States over a decade ago and has made enormous strides as an accomplished producer, musical director and bassist with the cream of the international fusion stars, including Flora Purim, Pat Metheny, Marcus Miller, and our very own Gary Husband, who features on keyboards in the concert set. Now based in New York, we recorded him at the Jazz Bar on his visit to Edinburgh on the 28th of March this year. This is the second part of their concert, and at the time of recording, Gwizdala was fresh from a world tour with guitarist Mike Stern and trumpet great Randy Brecker. On saxophone is Bob Reynolds, who's played with a range of artists, from jazzers Brian Blade, Tom Harrell and Richard Bonner, to rock star John Mayer. Louis Palmer is on drums and is a former Dave Weckl student, who holds his ground in the presence of fusion drumming pioneer Gary Husband, who completes the lineup as he puts in a stellar performance on keyboards. The set captures the band on good form at Edinburgh's award-winning venue, The Jazz Bar. So, joining Yannick Gwizdala on electric bass are Bob Reynolds on tenor sax, Louis Palmer on drums, and Gary Husband on keyboards. They start off with a composition from Reynolds called Rise and Fall. Thank you.